Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan presents The Drive with a Top 6 at 6.
How about 6? 6 is good.
All right, Julian Edelman has decided to hang it up. And by the way, we're going to have Adrian Dater on to talk about the deal the ads made. So we're fully aware of the story. Just want to go into depth in just a little bit. Right? Julian Edelman has retired after flunking a physical, so that's how his football career ends. What do you think of the career of Julian Edelman in terms of the NFL? Where does he kind of rank?
Edelman's probably probably not a Hall of Famer, but he's like the best category you could get outside of being in the Hall of Fame.
Close, huh?
He's had a tremendous career. Mm-hmm. I don't know that he's going to have the longevity that's going to require, but he's got the rings for sure.
Right.
He's certainly been a part of one hell of a championship run. He's a great, great football player that will go down as one of the all-time great slot receivers. I don't think he's a Hall of Famer, though.
Better slot receiver, Edelman or Wes Welker?
Well, I'm curious what the stats say. My gut tells me it was Wes Welker. That was my era, right? That was the period I was in. I'd be really curious what the stats say.
Let me give you the one everybody wants me to ask you.
Brandon Stokely
or Edelman?
Duh, definitely Stoke.
You trying to suck up for some reason?
Nah, I got my dudes back.
Okay, bring it, Kevin.
Why would I be sucking up to Stokely?
I really don't know.
Stokely and I were fighting this weekend.
I'm sorry, what?
We were fighting on Twitter.
About what?
Well, because you and him are simpatico, because you guys are boys. You guys hate Nolan.
We'll get to that in a second.
All right. Curious your thoughts on the Masters this weekend. I loved it. I'm also a hardcore golf fan. I watched nearly every second of it. It was a blast for me personally, but I'm really curious for a non-hardcore golf fan what the experience was like. You didn't have Tiger, and you didn't necessarily have any drama at the end. All right, how was it? What'd you think?
Well, the amount that I pay attention to golf without Tiger is more limited, but I'm probably a little bit more, I wouldn't say hardcore, but I'm definitely a golf fan.
Okay.
I'm not casual. However, my wife is way more casual. She loved it because the story they told of Masayama was fantastic. CBS did a great job. And Jim Nance, man, he's not the flashiest guy in the world, but that dude knows how to tell a story and set the scene. Jim Nance is a great, not good, a great broadcaster. And just the combination of what they did on CBS, they just got away from the nerd golf stuff. Which I still like the nerd golf stuff, but they got away from that and they just kept telling, a 4-hour story of why this is important and why it matters.
Right.
And
right.
You know what? For me and my wife, who is definitely a casual fan, it worked. We were wrapped into it to the very end. So I loved it. I thought they did a great job on CBS. I was disappointed that Spieth, I thought he was going to make a run, but he didn't.
Oh, he did. He made a run.
Well,
I mean, he got himself in it. When it was all said and done, he was right there in it towards the end.
You know what's amazing, though? After the first day, you said, and I agree with you, 9-under would probably be the number.
Right.
And it was right there.
Yeah.
It was right there. And Rose folded, of course. That guy's not a guy.
I don't know why you hate Rose. I like Rose.
Because he does stuff like he did. He gets off to a big lead, and then he just falls short, and it's uninspired potential. I was like that for a long time with Mickelson, but then Mickelson broke through and he really did win. And then it was like, well, now he's got Cavs. He's kind of cool.
I love watching Justin Rose. I thought it was a great experience. I'm curious what the numbers say. I'm curious what viewership was like.
It'll be down. It'll be
well.
Down.
I know it was up from the last one, but the last one was at an awkward time. And shoot, the last one was like 6 months ago. You know.
The last one was great, though, too, with Dustin Johnson.
I do know the numbers were up from that, though.
From November?
Yes.
That's interesting. Well, you know, I think as sports fans, we get into certain sports habits, and the Masters in April is it just feels right.
It's on your calendar.
Ring it, Ritzy. What the hell's going on with the 49ers? You traded up for 3. And now you're going to Justin Fields' pro day and Trey Lance's pro day? Why?
Due diligence. That's it. I mean, it's what you do this time of the year. You've got the luxury of getting to scout all of the prospects. Why would you not? I mean, why would you not be
You
there?
Are, because you know who you're going to draft. Why waste the time?
All right, well, why not confirm it?
Okay, so you think there's still some doubt with the 49ers, what
no,
they're doing?
No, I don't.
Okay.
I mean, here's why I think they're doing it. Because you can, number one. Yeah. And that's what you do during this time of year, number two. Number three, you never know when that information's going to help you. Whether it's the guy becomes available in 3 or 4 years and you want to know what your baseline evaluation was of him, or you want to apply this towards some sort of scouting report. Maybe you're looking for weaknesses. I don't know. You've got the luxury of being there, so why wouldn't you? That's pretty much as simple as that for me. What, you think they're legitimately considering three guys right now?
No.
Of course not.
No, but I don't think they're 100% with their main guy, and they want to make sure that their main guy is still their main guy. I don't think they're 100% sold. They're close, but they're not, in my opinion, not 100% sold.
Fair enough.
I don't know how else to explain it, Ray and Kevin.
Where are you at with the Falcons right now? A lot of what the Broncos will end up doing is going to come down to what the Falcons decide. Do they decide to select a quarterback? Do they decide to select Kyle Pitts? Do they decide to move out of that spot? The rest of the draft will be impacted significantly based off of what the Falcons decide at number four.
Agreed.
What does your gut tell you?
They take a quarterback.
Really?
How long you get Matt Ryan for?
I would say, well, you're only locked into him for one more year. But as far as how long can he continue to play? Another 3-4 years. Richie just sent us some stats over the weekend. There for like how many years was that, Richie? For like the last like seven, eight years, 9 straight seasons. Yeah. Matt Ryan has had the most completions in the NFL.
Well. When are you going to suck again, Falcons? When are you going to be in this same position? What's the quarterback class going to be like? And I love Justin Fields. I don't know how you could possibly pass on Justin Fields and Trey Lance to be mentored and be under Matt Ryan for maybe 2 years is so appetizing. I don't know as a GM how you can pass on it.
I think they are going to not take a quarterback, and I think they're going to stay put. I think they're going to take Kyle Pitts. And they're going to shake up the draft. And they're going to be the beginning of these quarterbacks falling a little bit further than what everybody thought they were going to do.
That's a very win-now attitude. I mean, I guess if you really think you can turn it around and...
You got a first-time head coach, he's going to want to win.
Of course. I think this is where there's going to be conflict between the head coach and the GM. So we'll see. If I'm the GM in this situation, to me... I just don't know how you pass on Justin Fields. And I'm telling you this, if Justin Fields is there and the Broncos don't make some sort of aggressive move to get up and get him at that point, then shame on the Broncos. If you think you can passively just sit there and hope something falls in your lap, you know, I don't think it's going to be this year. I think the Patriots are obviously going to be active. I think there may be a surprise team. Nikki doesn't seem to think that the Washington football team is going to move, but what's their plan? I mean, you know, what do they got going for him? Ring it, Richie. I'm getting a little sick of your Arenado Cardinals love. And it reached a boiling point. First of all, happy birthday.
Thank you.
I bought you as a snarky.
I had a great birthday, thank you.
I'm happy to hear details.
Well, I woke up.
Okay.
My wife had a present ready for me. Which was fantastic. Uh-huh. Who needs a present when they turn 36? You know, I got a nice little golf polo.
Oh,
Travis Matthews, fantastic.
That's not where I thought he was going with that story, but that's good.
No,
okay.
See, unlike you, I don't talk about those details. I don't do that. I'm not like 51 bragging about how I'm 25.
Oh, okay. Well, I wouldn't brag if I was in your situation either.
Oh.
Well, go ahead.
Then I had some cake, and it was cool.
I got you as a birthday present, just to be snarky, a Nolan Arenado shirt.
Yeah.
Now, I could have bought the cheap t-shirt.
Yeah, which is what I told you to buy.
Which you told me to buy, because we're being snarky back and forth
right.
About your love for Nolan Arenado.
Yeah.
No. And by the way, I did this on the down low, and you're the one that posted it on Twitter, not the other way around.
Well, I wanted to give you credit for it.
Okay. I wasn't looking for it, but okay.
Yeah.
But just because you already put it on Twitter. I got you the game jersey.
Yeah.
Double XL.
You did. Well, hold on. I mean, it was the replica, so let's not act like you got the real deal. You could have gone one notch above it. You could have gone authentic.
I didn't see an option for that.
Oh, there's always the authentic option.
I went to MLBshop.com.
Hey, you went above and beyond. I'm grateful. You put me in a predicament, though.
I have put you in a predicament. That's my question.
Well, a couple different predicaments,
What
actually.
Are you going to do? And I, by the way, it's coming in 3 days. What are you going to do with your very nice Cardinals Arenado jersey? Are you going to wear it? Oh, and what else is your other predicament?
Well, I guess that's my main predicament, because here's the deal. I own zero jerseys of any athlete. Zero.
Okay, so this is your only one.
I mean, I've got a bunch of Columbus jerseys that are hanging in my son's room because he wanted them in his closet.
Right.
So he's got all my jerseys hanging in his closet.
Uh-huh.
None. Not a single other man's name do I have on a shirt, on a jersey, on anything.
Okay.
I'm not a jersey guy. I'm not a big put another man's name on my back kind of guy, right?
Mm-hmm.
So what am I going to do?
Well, you've built yourself the Nolan Arenado apologist.
Here's what I'm going to do with it. It's going to be a nice little tool, much like Richie has got a tool for every little occasion.
Everything. Arbor Day, he's got tree shirts.
Right? I mean, when he's got a reason to wear something, he's got something in his closet to wear it for that reason. When I've got a reason to talk about Nolan Arenado, I'll pop it on. That's about it, though. I mean, you're not going to find me out and about in the public wearing it. I'm not a jersey guy.
Mm-hmm. I got you tickets for the Cardinals and the Rockies. Would you wear the Arenado shirt to Coors Field?
Okay, so I'm not actively rooting against the Rockies, okay? But I am a bigger Nolan Arenado fan right now than I am a Colorado Rockies fan, so I would wear the Arenado jersey.
Look it up, fellas. When does it happen? Look it up. Look it up. We got it. It's the 4th of July.
Oh, those are going to be expensive, but you've already said you'd do it. So now I'm going to need five of them, though, because my family would
No. One.
My kids would be very jealous if I go to a fireworks game without them.
Too bad. I don't care about your kids. You already said you would do it.
I
didn't say your whole family.
You got to do a party of five now.
No. One ticket, you said you would do it.
And you're a very generous man.
And I'm going to ruin your 4th of July. I'm going to make you go by yourself.
Warning.
Still talking about baseball, D-Mac. Just a warning, okay? Fair warning, and I'm going to talk about baseball. If you're going to get sensitive, just get sensitive right now, okay?
Go for it.
Oh, my gosh. How in the world does MLB dig themselves out of the hole they created this weekend with the Phillies-Braves situation?
Yeah, that's embarrassing.
Oh, my gosh. Terrible. Spilly's sitting here telling me, look, you can say whatever you want about the Rockies as long as you're not rooting against baseball. I'm not. But it's also a fact that Major League Baseball is a dying sport, that the average fan is 65 years old. That's a fact, D-Mac.
Oh, let's see that research. Oh,
okay. All right, fine. I'll pull it up.
It's a fact. Go ahead. Keep going.
Calling that a lie?
Whatever. Huh? Keep going. It's a fact. All right.
Well, look, it's just a fact that they're a hot mess right now. They're a hot mess. How do they dig themselves out of this hole?
This is terrible. I hate it when my favorite sport does dumb things to themselves. And they do dumb things all the time. Making pitchers hit again in the National League was a dumb thing. Having the California tiebreaker is not a dumb thing.
I lied. The average fan is 57.
Yeah, there you go.
Not 65, 57.
Big difference.
That's my fault.
Listen, how they get out... There's not much you can do because, unfortunately, the game's over. And by the way, it wasn't even it was in the top of the ninth. It wasn't in the bottom of the ninth. There's nothing you can do. The game's done. Replay, at the end of the day, replay has more good things about it than bad things. This was just horrible. This wasn't bad. This was horrible.
I just don't even... I mean, joking aside, I don't even understand how they messed this one up.
I don't either.
It was so clear. It was so obvious. Clear. There was no doubt whatsoever that dude did not touch the plate.
Nope.
What are we talking about?
Ridiculous. Never mind the ball.
I don't even know the two players' names. Maybe you do. But it was actually a beautiful play by the catcher. Beautiful play.
It was a great play by the catcher. It wasn't a great throw from left field because the ball was very shallow. It actually took two hops. But the ball beat the runner. Their catcher made the right play. Just overall in general, call him out and look at it again. And if you're wrong, you're wrong. He's safe. But I mean, every element of that play would indicate the guy was out at the plate. Every single element. And you know how I hate umpires in general. And when Spilly, we had him on, was calling from robo umps, sign me up.
I do like the robo umps. It would speed up the play. You would get accuracy. That feels like a no-brainer to me.
It's a terrible, terrible moment in baseball.
How do you defend the average fan being 57?
Baseball's cool and people in their 50s are awesome. As I proved today at the Imperial Challenge,
Ray
and Kevin.
That little house cleaning really quick.
Yeah.
I mean, I got caught in two lies. Number one, the average fan was 57, not 65. Okay.
Yeah.
And number two, someone on the text line has pointed out, and they've got a point. I do own another jersey. I forgot about it. I bought a Dikembe Mutombo jersey to wear with my basketball match against Zach Bye.
That is right. That is correct.
I did buy that off of eBay. It definitely came from overseas.
Right.
It was definitely not authentic. But I do have a Mutombo jersey.
I know why you forgot, though. Because the shorts were so constricting. The days of blur.
That's right.
All right, let's get to it. Hockey guys. It's a beauty way to go. Adrian Dater's our pal. He writes for ColoradoHockeyNow.com. Our Avalanche insider. Courtesy of Bud Light, an official beer sponsor of the Colorado Avalanche. Trade deadline has come and gone, and the Avalanche were active. Tell us about the news of the day, Adrian.
I'm not so sure new is the word, D-Mac. It's the old.
Right, the old is new again.
The old band is getting back together again.
All right.
The Avalanche made three pickups at the trade deadline, as it turned out. Two of them have played for the team before. Carl Soderberg, the big old Carl, as we used to call him. We once asked him, hey, Nick, Carl, what's your nickname? What do people call you? He goes, yeah, Carl.
There you go. There you go, Carl.
So nice. from then on, it's, you know, Carl. First reference, second reference. Carl Soderberg comes back to the Avs from the Chicago Blackhawks to fill a role that we weren't even sure if the Avs needed filling, but he's back. Of course, Devin Dubnyk, the guy you used to love to hate, the goalie from the old Minnesota Wild days, played for some other teams too, but he's back. He gives them the backup goalie presence that they needed. Sorry, Jonas Johansson, even though he won two games going out the door. And Patrick Nemeth, who played here for a couple of years, is their other pickup. So I was a little surprised at those guys, maybe, but, you know, arguably that's kind of the guys they needed, though. So whether they're played for, you know, I guess the Avs felt like, hey, they already know the system. They've been here. We don't want to have to reteach these guys much. So that's what they did. Three guys commenced today.
Well, the one spot that everybody was saying that they had to go out and make a move for was goaltender. They go out and they get Dubnyk. And, all right, so how we feeling now? How good is Dubnyk? Well, first, start there. Talk to us about where he's at in his career right now.
I mean, he's getting it toward the tail end, the back nine, probably. He's 34 years old. Did not have a great season at San Jose. But tell you what, guys, that was a bad team in front of him. I think he's going to be good on this team. I think he's obviously huge. He's won 250 games in the NHL. That's
okay.
Not nothing, you know.
Yeah.
And he played for some teams that weren't all that great anyway. Took a couple in the playoffs. His playoff record is not, it doesn't look good. I think it's 8-18, I want to say. But, look, I think he's a good goalie. I think he's going to be good on this team because I think he's going to be so appreciative of being out of San Jose and then a really bad team. He comes here the best defense and goals against in the league already. He doesn't have to be a world beater to get wins. He just has to go out and be, a pretty normal average goalie, and he's going to win games. So I like the move. He's been around. He's a good guy, they say. I mean, you definitely hate him if you're an opponent because he has known to argue a call now and then. It's sort of flapped his arms up in the air sometimes on goals that he thought shouldn't have counted, and he argues with the refs, and he's been shoving matches with Avs players before. But, yeah, I think Avs going to like him having him on their side now. I think that was a great, I won't say great move just yet, but I'll say it was a very good move getting him. And that was the biggest area that they needed to address, and they did.
Can you imagine if you're an opposing goalie and there's that rare but awesome goalie fight moment, and you as the other goalie have to fight a guy who's 6'6" as a goalie? What a nightmare. That. I mean, he's got to, you know, there's got to be some attitude
that
there,
that always
right?
blows my mind. Why would a 6'6" dude ever want to be a goaltender? I feel like there's more and more of them.
It's strange. Adrian, any answer to that?
Yeah. I've always said, hey, why not just get a 7-footer?
I just stick him there.
Yeah. Put some pounds on him.
Why not like a 5'2", 400-pounder? Huh? Why wouldn't that work?
I've watched that indoor lacrosse. That is what they do. There's no way those guys see the ball. They're all dressed up like that's it.
Yeah.
So
I agree. I don't know.
That's the interesting conundrum. Why'd you get a sumo guy? Just somebody. I don't know.
I think the difference is.
Why don't you get the old D-Mac?
Oh, get the old D-Mac? You're still giving me shots.
I should not have done that.
Okay. Yeah.
I shouldn't have done that.
You can fat shame, huh? All right. I get it. All right, Adrian, we got the Coyotes in town tonight. Anything? Boy, it feels like. When don't we play the Coyotes, I guess? But
I know, right? Isn't it just like. Has everybody had their fill of the Coyotes and the Ducks and the. The Knights and the Blues. Right. Well, that's what COVID brought us. It's right. Same teams rinse and repeat all season long. We got what 16 more games to go for the playoffs. But then the first let me go here.
The Avs just had one of these very terrible games the other night, right? And where it just they just sucked. Yep. Is there any reason to be concerned? You know, the Nuggets had one of those games too recently, too. Is there anything there, Adrian, or is that just one of these, like, man, it's a long season. Who knows? Things just aren't.
No, it's one of those nights. It was a throwaway game. You know, it was 4-3. I think entering the third period or late in the second. Third period just kind of fell apart on him. I do think Grubauer was tired. That was some of it. He's had a rest since then. He's going to start tonight against the Coyotes. I think Dubnyk will start Wednesday in San Jose.
Okay.
I'd take that and just throw it out in the garbage. It was the, it was the one rotten egg in the otherwise pristine, package of 12. So it's no more than that, I don't think. I think they did, learn though that you can't overwork Grubauer. And that was the cut. That was the game where they said, all right, look, the Bills have come due for Grubby playing all these games. He was tired. He looked like slow to react. So since that game, they've made adjustments. They've added a brand new goalie, and he's going to get that more rest going down the stretch now. I think that's a good thing.
All right, Adrian, we appreciate it. Enjoy the game tonight. Read Adrian Dater at ColoradoHockeyNow.com. Adrian Dater, courtesy of Bud Light, an official beer sponsor of the Colorado Avalanche. It's the Coyotes again. This is The Drive on Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan.
Does your company make safety a top priority? Alliance Safety, Colorado's premier supplier of safety equipment, is here to help make it one. As an authorized distributor of 3M safety products and home to all pro gear, Alliance has a vast inventory of personal protective equipment designed to keep your workers safe, including fall protection, safety glasses, protective gloves, and gas detection solutions. Visit AllianceSafetyInc.net. Call 303-388-8766 or stop by the Alliance Safety Warehouse off I-70 and Tower today to lock up all your safety needs.
Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan presents The Drive. Here's Tyler Palumbus and D-Mac.
Hey, once again, I'm just so happy that you're back. So maybe it's just to recap, how you feeling? How you doing?
I feel great.
How's life? That sort of thing.
It's great to be back, man. It's it feels like it's been a long time because it has. Not only did we have the quarantine, but we had it like in increments where somebody in my family would get it every 4 or 5 days. So it just kept getting longer and longer. I had the vacation on the front end of it. So it's been a long time since I've been in studio. It's great to be back. We all feel great. Nobody in my family got it bad. It was honestly, I mean, a pretty easy experience for us. We were fortunate. But I know it's not that way for everyone.
So. No. How do you know when you're done? How do you know when it's you're good to go?
That's a good question. You know, they say what the CDC will tell you is 10 days from your test and symptoms have to be improving. Now, our company is much more strict than that. Mm-hmm. And so they've got a 14-day minimum and you can't have any symptoms. So that's kind of what it took. But the basic guideline is 10 days from your initial test. And as long as symptoms are improving, then you can be back in action.
Well, as long as I got you here and asking you these questions. So what does this mean for getting the vaccine or antibodies you now have? I mean, what's the future look like after you've gone through this?
Yeah, so once you've had it, you've got antibodies that are built in, and I forget the exact time frame, but I think it's roughly around a month that you've got the antibodies. That will go away, and you can get it again for sure. So,
by the way, I'm coughing on my coffee. That was a very ill-timed
I'm back.
Cough right there.
Hello?
I know. You know, I thought I know I owe you, but we'll get you tomorrow.
Oh,
okay?
What's up with that? You're drinking a coffee and you owe me.
I know, because I wasn't exact. I thought you were going to be here, but I wasn't like, I wasn't exact. First of all, I didn't know if I was going to be here.
Yeah, that's right. Well, how you doing, man? How is that? Let's recap today for you. That was quite the event, huh?
It was awesome. It's been a long journey for me. The last time I did the Imperial Challenge in Breck, where you start. Well, you start at the rec center. Now you kind of start at Colorado Mountain College up the road a little bit from the rec center, about a mile. And you just go up hill to what used to be the base of Peak 8, but that doesn't even really exist anymore because of the construction. Yeah. When was the last time you were up in Breckenridge, by the way?
This year. I mean, we skied up there this year.
Dude. But over at 7 and 8?
Yeah.
I'm jaw-dropping for not having been there for a few years.
Yep.
The development up there is, I mean, it's stunning. Like, I don't even recognize it. But basically, you go up to the Crystal Lodge near the Grand Lodge up there. You can picture that. And then you just hike up the mountain. And it was super windy. And then I had a screw up near the top. But my fitness level is, I mean, through the roof, you know, and better than when I did it 15 years ago, which is crazy.
Awesome. Awesome.
Nuts.
What happened at the top? How'd you screw up?
Oh, my God. I had the stupidest thing. I just couldn't get my ski boot on. And it was, I know that sounds absolutely ridiculous. I know that sounds
What does that even mean? I don't even know what that means.
I literally could not get the ski boot on my foot. I hiked up in the hiking boots and snowshoes. And I carried my downhill ski boots and my skis on my back.
Yeah.
And the boot that I couldn't get into because my backpack was small, so I could only fit one boot inside the backpack. The other one was on the outside. I just had it hooked up and it was on the outside. I think it was a combination of just being kind of cold. And I think I had a bit of a sock issue that I look back on. I could have handled better my sock issue. And it was bad.
Gosh.
It was bad. I had to go into this warming ski patrol hut to just warm up a tad to get the boot on. And, you know, that eventually worked. That wasn't offered to me right away. Like, I was clearly struggling for quite a while until, like, one of the race people were like,
oh, this poor fella.
I mean,
oh, my
dude,
gosh. Is somebody going to help this guy or
I
not?
I mean, it was like that. Like, why didn't you tell me about the hut 15 minutes ago? But that's not even the point, like, your time and everything.
It really took over 15 minutes to get your boot on.
Look at my hand. Look how cut up my hand is here.
Unbelievable.
You can sort of see it here because I'm trying to get the boot open. Dude, it was ridiculous. It was like taking my sock off and maybe I could just put my bare foot in here, and that didn't work. And I mean, it was like I was this close just putting my running down the hill with the snowshoes on. I mean, it was like right there, which is exactly what happened to me the very first time I did this like 16 years ago. I did this like 16 years ago and was a disaster at the top. I won't go through all that. And then I went back the next year and I figured it out better. And this year I almost did it. I almost had to run down the mountain again.
Oh my gosh.
Which
would have
been ridiculous.
That's hilarious. So I'm guessing you did not meet your time goal.
Whatever my time goal is, in all fairness, In all fairness, you should look at my...
Well, what was it? To be top three in your age bracket
yeah,
or something
I
like that?
Yeah, I probably screwed that up because if... God, I hate to even... You should really take 20 minutes off my time. I'll give it 5 to 6 minutes to transfer, to put the boots on and click in. I mean, that's what it takes kind of everybody just to, you know, that's a reasonable time. And then it's just 5 minutes down the hill.
Right.
I mean,
right.
It just goes straight down. It's no big deal.
Yep.
But so whatever my time turns out to be, in fairness to me, you should take off 20 minutes. But then again, part of this race is figuring out all the gear. So, you know, you got to figure out the gear, and things can go wrong.
Right.
Things can go wrong on your bike.
Well,
things
it's awesome that you did it. It sounds like quite the day, and overall it was successful. So,
Yeah. I mean, to be able to do something 15 years later and do it better than you did it 15 years before, that's
awesome.
It's a huge day.
Yeah.
Plus, we had a lot of fun. Man, I'm telling you what, man, this is crazy. I'm 51. I seriously feel like I'm 25, 26 again.
Awesome.
Like dating my wife. I feel like we're dating. Like, when's the last time you dated your wife?
Well, that might have something to do with her being interested in your looks at this point. So.
There you go. It's all part of it. But we're like dating. We're doing things that you would do if you're dating. Like, just like impromptu at the last second, go here, go there. No kids, no pets, no nothing.
Nice.
I love my kids and my pets, but Glammy out passed away.
Yeah, that's
so sad.
Sad deal.
Yeah. Anywho, but we're back and we're rolling, and let's catch up with what's going on with my Cliffs, huh? Find out what the Broncos are up to. Figure out what these passing days are like for Trey Lance and Justin Fields. It's kind of weird, I think, what's going on here now.
Yeah.
Because there's so few teams that are even interested in what's happening.
Right, right.
So let's get to Cliffs. Everybody's feeling better. It's a gorgeous Monday. I think it's supposed to snow like 8 inches tomorrow, but, you know, it's Colorado. Mike Cliffs coming up next.
It's The Drive on Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan. Here's Tyler Columbus and D-Mac.
All right, earlier we talked to our guy, Mike Cliffs, our 9 News Broncos insider, brought to you by Bet Rivers Sportsbook, McGill's Hotel and Casino. He gave us the skinny on... What interest is there with Trey Lance and Justin Fields' new throwing days? Peyton Manning has spent a lot of time with Drew Lock, and they've been watching film together. Mike, is that true?
You know, I know they have been, you know, really from the beginning, been in regular contact. It's been text. It's been phone calls. The film work, I'm not aware of. That's pretty substantial, significant. You know, if that's true, that's taken things to another level. I haven't necessarily heard anything to deny that. I haven't heard anything that confirms that either.
All right, well, hold on. Do you think it's true?
They might have had a film session together. I think that's possible. You know, I kind of, without speaking to either one of them, and I have not spoken to either one to corroborate that, you know, I guess I don't want to answer that question.
Yeah, well, your gut is what my gut was, and that's fair enough. I mean, you don't know for a fact.
Yeah.
I mean, but the implication of that is that Drew Lock and Peyton Manning are getting together outside the building and watching film, because Peyton Manning's not coming to Dove Valley to watch film, right?
Right. Yeah, exactly. And this is supposed to be, if I'm correct on this, a no-coaching period. I know that, you know, in other words, the players aren't supposed to be getting coaching from the current staff. You know, Drew's around. Peyton's pretty sensitive, though, about playing coach. So my initial reaction is it's probably not as big. It's probably slightly, you know, and this was Dalton's words, slightly overcooking the thing just a tad, but again, I don't know, you know, so
sure.
I'm guessing on it.
Sure. All right, well, what's going on? What's the latest with the draft, the rumors, trading up, trading back, anything new?
No, other than I have heard both. You know, I've heard that both are possible, and trading up, trading back, probably, you know, that might be more likely than staying put at number 9. There's been so much discussion. I think George Payton He may have a contingency deal if his quarterback that he, if there's a quarterback left that he really likes, he probably is working the phones to see about having a contingency trade in place. If none of the quarterbacks are there and without having a pick in the second or third round, it makes sense to try to pick up an extra one by trading back a little bit. So, you know, all that stuff, it's still 17 days away. All the scouts are in this week. They are getting down, to the nitty gritty of their draft meetings. And, you know, it's one of those things. You don't want to peek too early on these things. You don't want to overthink it, which you probably are at this point, overthinking everything. But you want to have a clear mind and do the right thing here in 17 days.
Well, I'm going to guess Teddy Bridgewater is not much of a priority at this point. And I'm getting closer and closer to Tyler's theory that, listen, man, you just got to see how the draft shakes out before we make a move on anybody. What's your feeling about that? That they really won't make a move until the draft's over?
Well, and I'll kind of take Teddy Bridgewater's, you know, his stance on where he sits on this. If Teddy, you know, and it sounds like Teddy Bridgewater is basically a free agent. He can pick where he wants to get traded at this point.
Okay.
They gotta work with his contract. He's not getting $18 million.
No.
He's looking at getting cut with a $10 million guarantee. Then someone can sign him for the minimum, which is, 1.075. So that's what Teddy Bridgewater's looking at, and he can, you know, where does he want to play? What's the best situation? And right now, I would think the Broncos look like a real good situation for Teddy Bridgewater, because in his mind, I'm sure he thinks he can beat out Drew Locke to become the starter. However, if you're Teddy Bridgewater, you might want assurances before, you know, you don't want to sign with the Broncos today and have the Broncos trade up to get Justin Fields in 17 days. Now, all of a sudden, you're not in a great situation because there's not much there for you in 2022. I think Bridgewater has $10 million plus this year. He wants to get in position where he's playing and good for 2022 next year. And the Broncos, while they look great now, if they trade up from 9 to 4 and get Justin Fields or Trey Lance or Mac Jones, there's a real commitment there by trading up to 4. Much more so than if you stay at 9 and take one of those quarterbacks. So that's why I think for Teddy Bridgewater, it makes sense for him to stay patient also.
If quarterbacks slipped to number 9, is there a quarterback in this year's draft that they would not take?
I would think there's a chance, and I don't know this. There's something to be said for all of them. But to me, Trey Lance does not make sense for the Broncos. If you're talking to, and I'm putting words in their mouths here, but if you're talking to Vic Fangio and Pat Shurmur, Trey Lance isn't the guy you want, because you want to get better. You want to win in 2021. Trey Lance, you know, and I've talked to quite a few people, he's the most raw, the rawest of the 5 quarterbacks. First of all, he's a one-year guy at a Division II school. Second of all, he didn't play last year. And while he may also have the most talent, the highest ceiling, he more than any of the 5 needs to redshirt at least 1 year. And so it would surprise me if the Broncos took Trey Lance at number 9.
Hi, Mike. Any other odds and ends? You have a good weekend? You all right? Everything good?
Great weekend. Yeah. You know, we're I kind of thought of George Payton in the quarterbacks a little bit yesterday when my wife was shopping for furniture, and she liked a lot of things, and but didn't buy anything.
Ah.
And
did she make any offers? Any low balls?
No, we have an awkward designed living room is the issue.
Right.
And nothing quite fits.
Well, I tell you, you should call up AAA Home Improvements. You can see them at AAAHomeImprovements.com. They'll knock that wall down, Mike, and make all your dreams come true. I mean, that really will.
Knock a wall down.
Sure.
No.
Not with the way.
Did she not do that.
Did she look at a piece of furniture and mean, like, that would be perfect, made an offer, and they just said, we just need a little bit more, and she said, nope, forget it. I'm not going to buy that Stafford or whatever it would be called.
No, you know, it's if it wasn't for this, you know, we're kind of thinking sectional, nice sectional.
Uh-huh.
But that's where our awkwardly designed living room needs to have one piece cut out there and added on over there. That's kind of where we're at.
Let me guess. She was looking for the new recliner, but the store wanted the old recliner in a trade offer, and she didn't want to give up the old recliner, even though she was replacing it. Is that what was happening?
Well, about the recliner, I went into the store. She said she wanted me to go with you. I did not want to go. I got in, so I went with her.
Oh, what a jerk.
And as soon as we got there, she said, okay, get lost. I don't want you influencing me.
Yeah.
So I sat 1 hour in one recliner, and then I felt bad, and I went across the showroom and sat in another recliner for another hour.
Good move.
What a guy.
No, I respect that. Furniture shopping is dangerous on a marriage. It's very dangerous.
Oh, that's so funny, man. There's our guy, Mike Kliss, from the Bet River Sportsbook, McGill's Hotel and Casino. Tyler, so good to have you back.
Great to be back.
Man.
It's good to be here, man.
What did it feel like when you just like said, I got to go to work, honey. I got to get out of here.
Well, I've been doing that anyway that's been the only blessing in disguise that I had the show to do. I can't imagine how stir crazy I would have been without the show.
Yeah, man. Masters thoughts, final thoughts on the Masters.
You know, it was a tremendous weekend. I thought it, we made history. Hideki Matsuyama was incredible. It was a little bit of an anticlimactic finish, for sure.
Got weird at the end, though, didn't you?
I thought that the entire day on Sunday, if you're not a golf fan, I was actually a little bit bummed out about it because there really wasn't any sort of drama. There wasn't any sort of real chase.
Right.
And then at the very end, the entire field just blew up. Everybody just decided that they were just going to blow up. It was not the spectacular finish that you want to see, but congratulations to him on becoming the first Japanese male to win the Masters. I thought that was incredible. Seeing some of the sights of his caddy afterwards, when he's putting the pen away and he takes a bow to the course, that gave me chills. It honestly did. It was awesome stuff. So I loved every second of it because I'm a golf fan, but I was actually a little bit bummed out because without Tiger and everything else, I was just hoping there might be a little bit more drama involved for the casual fan.
Well, I'm just happy it happened. I'm happy things are getting back to normal, and it looks like we're going to have some colder weather and snow, which I did.
Did you get your fertilizer down?
I didn't put the fertilizer it got put down. And the sprinklers are turned on, which is probably, watch, the whole sprinkler is going to explode.
Why would you turn your sprinklers on?
Because I told you, it was either turn them on this week or June.
I can't help you with this anymore.
All right. Cecil and Nick, they don't take care of their yards either. Cecil lives out in Roxborough, like in the middle of nowhere with like mountain goats.
But you're like skinny. Let's be outside. Let's do stuff. Let's do things that we never used to do.
Right. Let's pave over the lawn. That's what I want to do. Let's get a sport court like Orlando. That's what I want to do. Nick and Cecil comes up next.